now on Wake Up Australia. A dose of common sense.
Common sense never goes out of style.
From the other side of the world with Brendan O'Neill, editor of Spiked Online.
Well, every week on the program, we usually catch up with Brendan from the UK, but Brendan has been in Australia this week and actually comes to us from Sydney. G'day, Brendan.
Hey, Clinton. How's it going?
Happy travels down under.
Yeah, I love it here. This is my sixth visit to Australia, so there's something drawing me back. I always have a good time there.
And the weather's actually been pretty good the last couple of weeks. I know you're in Sydney at the moment, and for April, it's actually still pretty warm.
It's lovely in Sydney. I've been in Perth already, where it was also lovely. I was in the Gold Coast, where it rained terribly. I was in Brisbane, where it was lovely and warm, and now I'm in Sydney, where it's nice and warm. So, yeah, I've done pretty well.
Really keen to get your perspective on this fight between the federal government and notably the Prime Minister through the e-safety commissioner and Elon Musk about the misuse and the use and free speech and censorship of Twitter or X, and what an international perspective is on it, because Elon Musk has made it clear that when it comes to the Australian government controlling something that's international, it's just not possible.
Yeah, I find this story really shocking, actually. So this is the eSafety Commissioner of Australia is saying that Meta and X have got to take down the video of the stabbing that took place in the church in Sydney a couple of weeks ago, where an Assyrian bishop was stabbed. And Meta has complied and taken the video down from Instagram and Facebook. But X, formerly known as Twitter, is pushing back. And the point that Elon Musk makes is that he will block the tweets so that Australian people can't see them. So he's, you know, basically complying with the instruction from the eSafety Commissioner, which is that no one in Australia should be able to see this video. But they're now saying that doesn't go far enough. They want him to take down the video from every single country in the world, so that Australians don't see it by accident or don't use a VPN to get around the fact that they're in Australia, and that would then allow them to see the video in some underhand way. So they're basically telling Elon Musk that he's got to take it down everywhere. This is an act of global censorship. This is an Australian bureaucrat demanding the right to determine what anyone in the world is allowed to look at on the internet. I think it really smacks of a pretty tyrannical view. And I think these Australian officials need to keep a check on themselves before their authoritarian instincts really run out of control.
Can you appreciate, though, the feeling of the Australian administration in this, in terms of protecting the citizens in this country from what's been happening here? Because I mean, the knife crime that we have witnessed has been absolutely horrible.
Oh, yeah. The attack itself was dreadful. And there was also, of course, the Bondi Junction stabbing as well. These are two terrible events to have hit Sydney in recent weeks. But I think the thing about the stabbing in the church is that there's two things that strike me. Firstly, many, many Australians have already seen it. You know, the horse has bolted on that question. And the other thing, this is the more difficult point to make, but I think it's an important one. It is a public event. It is a news event. It is something that happened in the real world. And there are images of violence on the news all the time. You know, the footage from 9/11, for example, or footage from war zones, the stuff we're seeing from Gaza every single day on social media. You know, there are grainy iPhone images of terror attacks in Europe, terror attacks in Britain. We live in a world where these kinds of events are captured on camera very often and disseminated on the internet. And I'm not sure it's the government's job to try to censor what is a public interest story. This is an important news event that took place in the real world. And I do think it's wrong for the government to try to shove it down the memory hole and seem to try to make people want to forget about it. I think the government should not be in the business of censoring public information or important news events.
Now, at university campuses in this country, we've started to see some tents pop up in support of Palestine. This is all grown out of what's happened in the United States in Columbia University. What's your take on it?
I must say these camps make me slightly uncomfortable. And I say that as someone who's very much in favor of the right to protest. And I understand the fact that students do very often protest. That is what students do. But something about these camps just leaves me cold. And if you look at the one at Columbia University in New York City, which is where all this has kicked off, there's been a lot of bigotry in that camp. We've seen Jewish students being harassed. They've had awful things shouted at them. Some Jewish students were told to go back to Poland. You know, they weren't even Polish. They're American Jews. There was one placard right in the middle of the Columbia camp, which described Israel as the pigs of the earth. Now, I'm just not convinced that that is anti-Zionism, which is how some of these protesters would describe it. To me, something like that smacks of anti-Semitism. And we've seen a lot of that at the camp in Columbia. And it does worry me that the protests against what Israel is doing in Gaza seem to be spinning out of control and becoming something slightly unhinged at times, and something very close to bigotry in terms of not just criticizing Israel, which everyone has the right to do, but demonizing Israel as a uniquely barbaric nation, a uniquely bloodthirsty nation, and Zionism as one of the worst ideologies in the world. And I just think it's tipping over into something that is, I think, quite suspect.
And the likelihood of it actually achieving their objectives, it's not going to happen anyway. Benjamin Netanyahu's not taking notice of what the UK and the US has to say anyway.
No, exactly. So the idea that they would take notice of what some of these students have to say in Columbia or Sydney is just ridiculous. There's an element of virtue signaling as well, of course, because being pro-Palestine is now the way in which you demonstrate that you're a good person. You know, a lot of these students wear the Palestine scarf. They talk about this issue all the time. They attend these marches. It has become one of the key means through which you advertise your virtue, advertise your decency, demonstrate your fitness for polite society. It's become one of those litmus test issues. And I think that it's very performative. I don't think it's actually designed to achieve a tangible political end. It's mainly about just demonstrating the supposed virtue of the protesters. So I find it shallow as well as quite worrying as well.
Now, sort of linked to all the pro-Palestinian protests, there was a drama in London last weekend that hasn't received a lot of publicity here about a police officer saying to one bloke that he looked openly Jewish.
Yeah, this is an incredibly worrying story from out of London. There's a movement in Britain called the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, and one of its activists, a guy called Gideon Falter, he was walking through London and there was a pro-Palestine march, and he was near the march and the police essentially stopped him, and he was wearing his kippah and he looked Jewish because of what he was wearing, and the police officer said to him, "You are clearly openly Jewish, which could potentially antagonize the protesters, and therefore we suggest that you move away." And then another officer said to him, "If you don't move away, we will arrest you." So this is a really serious situation. So what a lot of people in London are now asking is, you know, is it a crime to be a Jew in Britain? Is that something that you can be arrested for? And we saw a similar event in Scotland, in fact, where a man was told by a police officer to cover up his Star of David necklace because it might antagonize the protesters. My view is that this represents a form of appeasement. The police are essentially appeasing the mob and hiding away the Jews so that the mob doesn't get riled up and turn into something more violent. If Jews aren't able to walk around the streets of Britain without, you know, feeling safe and secure and not suffering any persecution or harassment, then Britain is in very serious trouble. I think it was deeply wrong of the police to say that Jews should go away in order not to antagonize a mob of protesters.
It's quite an astonishing thing for a police officer to say. Brendan, you'll be returning to the UK soon and we will catch up next week.
Great. Thanks, Clinton.
Brendan O'Neill from Spiked.